Hello. Hey, y'all. Any Southerners in here? My people. Hey, y'all. You miss biscuits and gravy? Y'all got that around here? Your arteries are better for it. Well, genuinely, it is my honor to be here this weekend. And I know, like, you're supposed to say that before you start any retreat or conference, but I mean it. It's my honor to be with you. It's also my honor to just get to open the Word of God with you and see what God might want to say to all of us this weekend. What I love about God's Word and what I love about the Holy Spirit is I can be preaching one thing while the Holy Spirit is preaching a few hundred things. He's such a better preacher than me. And so I just want to invite you this weekend. What I love about weekends like this is, especially with all women, come on now, and Dom and the boys, but all women is we love gathering with the larger body of saints, right, with men in the room, but there's something that happens when just women get in a room. Many of you who have been to this retreat before or any women's retreat, you'd be able to say the same that, I don't know, I'm the youngest of three. Any babies? My people. Thought you'd be louder than that, because usually we are. And let me move this before I kick it. And I have two older brothers, and yes, I was spoiled as a youth, but I still am, if I'm being honest. But one thing I learned about being the youngest with two older brothers is my father truly does love all of us equally, and I almost said but. And there is a unique way that he loves his girl. And I'm going to tell y'all, the father, there's a unique way that he loves his girls. And I believe there's going to be a unique display of that this weekend. And now it's a musical. Okay. What was I saying? Get to know me. Well, that is honestly a great way to get to know me. I will make anything into a musical, given the opportunity. It was 90 degrees when I left home, and I got a little excited. And so if you notice the red portion of my face till about this area, that is sunburn. And my neck is slightly red, but I am not a redneck, only a little bit. I want to honor really quick. I'm 36 years old. Thought there'd be more surprise. I'm 36 years old. And I do want to honor the older women in this room. I'm going to be the one up here teaching, but I want to honor you that many of you have been sticking with God, reading his word as long as I've been alive. I know there is much you could teach me. I'm coming in all humility just to say if there's anything that I can do to spur you on in your walk, little sister, daughter is here to do it. So I just want to honor you. Sisters around my age, mamas, amen. Single ladies, I am one of you. I don't know if you know about being 36 and single in the South, but it is a different form of perseverance of, you know, faith. So I see you, single ladies, okay? But just to, hey, testify, I am dating. Thank you. That's it. All right. I've been to a lot of conferences where the people are like, and here's my family. And I've always been like, neat. But I do have a boyfriend. Thank you very much. We are going to get into God's word. So if you do have your Bibles, you can either turn there, flip there to Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 is going to be our home base, if you will, for the weekend. It's so beautiful to see people getting out real Bibles with real paper. I get to teach our students at our church a lot. It's okay if you're clicking. There's no shame. The Word of God is living and active from digital or real paper. I just get to teach students a lot, and a lot of times you don't see the real books anymore, so it's just nice. All right, y'all there? All right, so Ephesians 4 is going to be our home base for the weekend. And just to give you a little, let's get familiar with Ephesians a little bit. I thought this was beautiful as I was prepping for this and studying that one commentator called Ephesians the Queen of Epistles. Felt appropriate for Women's Weekend. But he called it this because of all of Paul's letters, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. This one book could be almost like the spark notes or the highlights of the main things that Paul valued. So if you've ever wondered, like, I don't know, Paul talks a lot. He even says himself, like, I'm not the best of speakers, which I honor so much. But Ephesians houses most of his like main, his like core, this is what I want the church to get. And he mainly, a lot of times, focuses on the community of believers. We're going to get a little more into this as the weekend goes on, but I love how adamant Paul is about us in a culture that's always screaming I, right? More on that later. But in the Queen of Epistles, Ephesians 4 specifically just, I mean, it gets you right in the gut. If you're looking for a little quiet time, maybe tomorrow morning, also, how beautiful is it here? Are you kidding me? I mean, I passed like a big old flea market going to the airport in South Carolina, and I'm like, is this Switzerland? It's beautiful. I have been places. Just know this is stunning. But Ephesians 4, if you're looking for something to look at that view and read in your own time. It'll get up, as we would say in the South, it'll get up in your grits. So just be careful as you go read Ephesians 4. It's so beautiful and so rude to anything our flesh may want. But this is what it says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It says, and he, God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. If you're new to church, maybe you're like new to reading your Bible, those roles, those are just leadership of the church. He gave these leaders of the church, these leadership positions. Why did he do that? To equip the saints. Everybody say equip. For the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is happening right now. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. From whom the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So I was praying for you, praying for us. The word that kind of emerged for this weekend based on this text is the word equipped. So that's kind of the theme for the whole weekend that we're going to be focusing around. And tonight is just going to be giving us the starting point for what it means to be equipped. Because here's what I know about women in general. We ain't got no problem getting the job done. I sat with a mama at dinner, had her baby Simon, pulled his beanie over his face, happy as a lamb, didn't even care. But women know how to get things done. What I'm not trying to do this weekend and equipping you is hand you more to do. As we're going to see tonight, that's not what equipping is at all. Because as I was studying this, I'm also in school again, so y'all can pray for me. When's the last time y'all wrote a paper? I don't know. Let's go. Let's nap. I don't know. When's the last time y'all did a bibliography? You know what I'm saying? Like Turabian format. What is... The only tribe, I'm like, Turabian Nights, I don't know what that is. But I learned as I was studying this, there's certain times, especially in the New Testament, when a word is only used one time. And that word is called, I'm going to botch the pronunciation. Y'all just give me grace, okay? But when this is done, it's called hapax legomenon. Google it. Thank you. But that means that this word is only used once in all of the New Testament. And this word, specifically the Greek here for equipped, is only used here. And so when that happens, it's Paul inviting us to lean in a little bit that there's something important about what he's saying. What Paul is saying, and even my job this weekend, is not, heaven help us, I hope you leave encouraged. I really do. I hope you leave thinking worship was great. I hope that you have a great massage. Man, be blessed with massage. But ultimately, I pray that what happens is that we leave here equipped by the word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, for what purpose? To be formed into the image of Christ. None of us needs to leave another conference with a notebook just full of more notes that we're never going to go look back at. But of a glimpse of God's face that equips us not to just go, wow, but to say, that's what I want to look like. That's what we are being equipped to do, to be formed to the image of Christ. Because this word in the Greek, it actually means, has the idea to put right. I think this is going to come up behind me. But equipping in the Greek also has the idea of putting right. This ancient Greek word was used to describe, get this, setting broken bones or mending nets. The same root word is used when Jesus calls the disciples while they were on the shore mending their nets. To equip means to set right, as in a broken bone, ouch, or to mend a net. I don't know how many fisherwomen we have in here. I love to fish, less this. That's a net, by the way. That's me casting a net. And more this. No? Okay, thank you. Love to fish. But I love like how these seem so opposite and yet they are so similar in that three things. This is how we're going to set up equipping tonight. What is equipping? What is it? According to this, the idea of setting bones and mending broken nets, equipping is intimate, it's painful, and it's lifelong. We're going to get to all three of these. Equipping is intimate, it's painful, and it's lifelong. This is just the overview of tonight. We're going to dig deep into some scripture over the next few days, but we've got to get the foundation of what we're even talking about, that equipping is intimate, painful, and lifelong. Again, not more to do, but someone to become. So let's talk about equipping being intimate. I don't know about you, I haven't reset many broken bones. I think my total is rounding up to around zero. But I know that you can't reset a broken bone from afar. I know you can't AI a broken bone, which I'm terrified of, by the way, just all cards on the table. Mending a net is very intimate. It is up close. And for us to be equipped, there has to be a very intimate reality with the presence of God and the presence of one another. We cannot be equipped by ourselves in a room solely, but around women a lot like this. And what I would tell you is that equipping happens. What's more intimate than an encounter with God and with other women? True equipping comes by way of encounter. You encounter the presence of God or someone else, and it leaves you different. You can't, it jolts you into reality of something different. This is the story of the disciples, right? They encountered the presence of, I'm doing that so it sticks in your brain, and also because I know many of you left work today and you're like, what day is it? So just, we're all here together. But they encountered Jesus over, let me just read you a few, okay? True equipping comes by way of encounter. Let's just look at some of their encounters. Peter, James, and John encountered Jesus on the shore and began their journey of equipping. They encountered Jesus talking with a woman by a well and were equipped with the way true rabbis were meant to approach and value women. They encountered Jesus touching the sick, eating dinner with the reviled, walking with the wayward, and were equipped to go out and love the way God would have. They encountered Jesus in his transfiguration in Matthew 17 and were equipped to walk around like Jesus had the real power and the real authority. They encountered the resurrected Jesus in a room behind locked doors and were equipped to go and pronounce Jesus is alive. And this one, they encountered the Holy Spirit in an upper room and were equipped to declare that good news with all boldness. Women of God, I believe there is an encounter set for all of us this weekend. An encounter with the Word of God, an encounter with the presence of God, and an encounter with one another that causes us to go and live differently because we've been equipped with encounter. Amen? When we encounter the presence of God, when we encounter Scripture, when we encounter one another, we walk away with great depths of equipping. Equipping is intimate. And now number two, the fun one. Equipping is painful. Who loves pain? Right, yeah. Same. But in case, you know, unless you're Simon in the room, shout out. You know life is painful. I can even sense in the room tonight that there's some pain. We've come in this weekend. But pain actually helps us in the hands of God to leave with a different level of equipping. Again, a resetting of a bone is a painful process. But I'd much rather in the hands of a good doctor for a broken bone to be mended and reset painfully than for me to walk around with a limp the rest of my life because I could figure it out myself. And I don't pretend to know, listen, I don't pretend to know the pain that you've experienced this year, this month, this week. But I do believe there are two invitations this weekend for what to do with our pain. Number one, I believe there is some repentance, confession and repentance that needs to happen this weekend. One of my favorite realities of repentance is in Acts 3 where it says, hey, repent so that times of refreshing may come. I want to encourage y'all. Megan and I were talking about this beforehand. You know, no preacher is good enough to fully equip you. Pick your favorite. Billy Graham, just coming out strong. I'll just put this here and you guys have a good night. Unbelievably gifted, unbelievably bold, not good enough to equip us by himself. And my fear is, I'm going to say, my generation, our generation. If you ever see me doing that the rest of the week, that's me going, Holy Spirit, how intense do you want to go here? We got to quit relying on podcasts and preaches to solve a pain that only confession and repentance can. I was about to say I love a podcast. I actually don't. People send me podcasts all the time. Thank you so much. Just rots in my text messages. Thank you. Because I'll tell you, I haven't activated the last preach I listened to. And I fear that sometimes we're nom, 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 content. And we wonder why the pain isn't getting any better. Why we don't feel any more bold. Well, we don't feel like any more equipped, and it's because more content without any activation of confession and repentance in response to that content just makes lethargic and lazy Christians. We're just getting bigger on content and no exercising of it out. And I'm telling you, if the Spirit whispers anything to you this weekend in the air of being equipped, that feels anything like confession and repentance, I want to encourage you, sister to sister, act on it this weekend. It is His kindness that leads us to repentance. Repentance, I love Eugene Peterson calls repentance one of the theological threads of Scripture. Jesus, over and over again, doesn't just start His ministry with the call to repent, but so many even of His parables, of His storytelling, was one narrative of repentance. And I'm here unapologetically full of love to say, women of God, may they be a cult, like a burning in our bones that, gosh, sin has bent me. It's bent my affections. That pain that someone inflicted on me, it's caused a root of bitterness. It's bent the way I can love because everything has a taste of bitterness to it. Holy Spirit, help me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Confess and repent. Maybe tonight. And if there's any edge of shame on you, even as I'm saying that, I say shame off of you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If any thought in your head is going, you shouldn't do that, you should be ashamed, that is the voice of the enemy and I rebuke it. If anything of you is going, I don't know if I want to, but I will, that's the Holy Spirit. Sounds a lot like the prayer of Jesus. Confess and repent, but maybe not. Maybe it's not a sin thing. Sometimes equipping is painful because we just need to get honest so we can get healing. So confess and repent, but also get honest so you can get healing. Anybody grow up an athlete? My people. Now I just have arthritis and a torn shoulder. So that's cute. If you see me worshiping and I can't straighten it. But God knows my offering and I'm as close as I can get, Lord. But you know what I was taught as an athlete? Rub some dirt in it. Shake it off. There's work to do. And I carried that thing like a badge of honor. Shoulder hanging off. Running out to the, I played shortstop in softball. Thank you. There's always one of us, you know what I mean? And I'm just like slinging it to first base. It's because, you know what? I was told if I got honest about my pain, then I'd be out of the game. You're benched. So I just walked around with my pain, not getting honest, because I thought it was a sign of strength, and I didn't want to have to sit down on the bench. Can I just tell you something? That's not how God works. And we've got to be women who are okay with being vulnerable with one another and being like, I need some help. I can't carry this grief anymore by myself. You know what? That woman did do this and I am mad. Some of us were told like anger is dangerous on a woman only if you hold it in by yourself. Get honest. Get healing. Maybe you have group tonight in your cabin or out, again, looking at that beautiful view. Here's what I know is going to happen. You're going to have a little group time, and the Holy Spirit's going to be like, hey, girl, you should get honest. And you're going to be like, I don't want to. No. Mm-mm. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be bold enough. You might trip over your words. It might be imperfect. And you know what's going to, you're going to go, oh, gosh. Anybody else cry in the shower? And everybody else is going to go, oh my gosh, me too. Come on, guys. Y'all don't cry in the shower sometimes? Where the kids can't get to you? I'm under the firm impression healing cannot happen alone. And I'm saying tonight, this weekend, equipping, it's going to be painful. I'm not going to lie. You're going to want to do it. Somebody may look at you weird. But maybe it's not because she's actually thinking, how could she do that? She's going, how was she that bold? And you might actually help lead to another woman's freedom and healing. Equipping is painful. Confess and repent. Get honest, get healing. We good? Great. All right, third and final. And my man, Richard Weber, I don't know if the men are hiding. Caw-caw! Richard, if you could. Great. You're the best. Yes, thank you so much. Y'all good? Okay. Hold on. Father, we just thank you for Richard. Just thank you. You got it. Okay. Third and final, equipping is lifelong. This is actually the very, like, encouraging. Everybody just take a deep breath. That mountain air and old carpet smells so good. That's what faith smells like. I'm being serious. Old church carpet, faith smell. That's what that smells like. But equipping is lifelong. Here's what I want to tell y'all. Here's the beautiful thing about this. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 13. We're going to talk about this more over the weekend. But it says, to be equipped until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anybody reached the full measure of the full stature of Christ yet? Okay, good. We're all being honest. We've already started. See, you're one step there. Equipping is a lifelong reality. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. There's not one conference, one retreat, one devotional, one prayer meeting, one fill in the blank that you're going to walk out and be like, I did it. I'm equipped. But you know what I believe? There's something. There's something that God wants to hand you this weekend that's going to help you for the next part of your journey. As you walk through that, he's going to hand you one more thing. And so to kind of conclude this first night, what I wanted to do is just end with a question. You can write this down. You can just pray through it. But the question is this. What is your first step to opt in to this equipping? Here's what I'm saying. Y'all, I think we'll get used to my analogies. Just follow me here. If you and I were going to go build another cabin, as I know we are all itching to do, and I were to lay all the tools up here. You got hammers, nails. As soon as I start listing them, I realize how little tools I know. Saw, an axe. We are cutting down our own sequoias for this cabin. If I lay out all the tools, and I'm like, ladies, here they are, for you to be fully equipped to go build a house. You're like, oh my gosh, I have never seen such a shiny hammer. That one's pink. It's for me. A saw, I've always wanted to use a saw. Your eyes go kind of crazy. You come up, you look at all of them, and you go, those are the coolest tools I've ever seen. And then you just walk back to your seat. You didn't take one with you. Talk about it on the way home. Gosh, could you believe how many nails she brought? Couldn't believe how many nails. That axe, I was scared at first, but it was a cool axe. But you don't take one to go use? What are we doing? So I say all that to say, I can get up here and try my best, and I promise I will, to lay out the tools for equipping. the Holy Spirit's going to highlight something for you. They're like, I can be equipped like that. Megan's going to get up here, correct something I said, hand you a better tool. But it is a personal decision to put out your hand and say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Maybe you wanted an axe and he hands you a hammer and you're like, that's apparently what I needed. But you have to opt in. Here's the last thing I want to say with this. As we are talking about this, I think sometimes, I don't know how, maybe some are coming in here and you feel like you're stumbling in here. Maybe you feel actually pretty confident right now. Maybe you feel pretty good. Maybe you feel that bentness of like, I need to be set right. Sometimes we can see how far we need to go so much that it discourages us from doing anything. You know what I mean? It's like spiritual procrastination. Well, I could never be like so-and-so, so I'll just go see a mountain and get a massage and hope it helps, you know? But what I'm telling you tonight, when it comes to opting in, don't look at the distance you have to go. Look at the direction you're currently headed. So maybe you see this like, and maybe God's even given you a vision of like a future version of like a dream, a gift, a calling, a child you're still praying for, whatever it is. Don't look at the distance you think you have to go. Look at the direction you're currently headed. Say, Holy Spirit, this way? Are we changing direction? One step at a time, one tool at a time. This is the lifelong journey that we're opting into. Amen? Okay, so here's how what I would love to do. You can keep your journals out. I just want to pray for you. And then if we can leave a couple minutes, and then when Megan feels like it's ready to come up and close us out, but I want to leave a few minutes of just space for us to ask the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to opt in? Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to pray a few minutes, and then Megan's going to come up. Let me pray for us. Father, we are here for you. Even creation, as we were driving in, was almost screaming at the top of its lungs, going, look, look at him, look. Jesus, I pray for my sisters right now. What an honor. Like, what an unbelievable, divine, transcendent reality that you would say, hey, come and look like me. Come and love like I love. Come and speak like I speak. Come and think like I think. Come have the motivation like I have the motivation. That is unbelievable that you first made us in your image and now want to transform us into your likeness. That is, we say thank you. Catch us up in that reality. And Holy Spirit, we honor you. I go first in confession and repentance of when I act like I know enough, I've read enough, I get it, that I can do any of this without you. And so, God, I just speak over my sisters this weekend, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. So even as we just take a couple of minutes, what is that in the expanse of eternity? But as we take a couple minutes, would you see this as open space? The Holy Spirit, you love to fill, and would you whisper and speak? One step, one tool, one direction of how we can opt in. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.